This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app, this is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you for listening. You can be a part of this fine production, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Super jazzed show for you today. Got Jess P.S. on the board, working the sound, working the phones. Got our pal Earl Ingram Jr. He hosts his own show here on the Civic Media Radio Network, 8 to 10 a.m. Monday through Friday. He's with me now in the stream yard, in the studio. Later on in the show, our friend Bill Press. He's a podcaster. He's a pundit. He's a prognosticator. He's a friend of ours. He's going to join us in the happy hour. Let's start out with you, Earl. Welcome, man. Good to see you again.
It's good to see you, man, but I just heard you say worldwide. Maybe I need to go and wash my face.
You're beautiful, man. Don't worry about it. You're good just the way you are. Don't ever change, Earl. Hey, I can't believe how time is flying by, man. It's been a couple of weeks since we had the opportunity to hang out, and always appreciate you joining me and offering your perspective to the audience, man, and for what you do. But I want to start out, man. I got a text from a friend of mine. I didn't get to hear the show, but I heard you were interviewed by the BBC, man. How did that come about? What's that all about?
Well, you know, man, I got a text message. I guess they must have reached out to Civic Media and inquired about whether or not I would be available to be interviewed. And if they couldn't interview me, they said they were going to interview someone else. And so I got this text message from Luke. And as they say, the rest of it is history. We made some contacts and had a conversation. And this morning at 7:30, I had a great opportunity. And, you know, I broke a leg.
Yeah, I know you will. So what were the questions? What's the line of question? What's the BBC asking? What are they curious about, Earl?
Well, they are really curious about the United States and what's happening in this country. We get so caught up in what's happening with Donald Trump and our nation. But what most people don't understand is this is not just about the United States and Donald Trump. This is about the world. The world is paying attention to what is taking place right now. And the BBC is clearly concerned, because can you imagine if you're from a different nation and you're looking at the prospects of Donald Trump becoming the president again?
Again!
I know. And so, you know, they're kind of concerned, because you know he's not a stable guy. And so if the guy who's going to be the most powerful man in the world again is Donald Trump, you had better. And so they really were concerned about, asked me about what I thought about the election, some specific questions about, you know, whether or not it looked like people were. Said to them, the last time I saw this much interest in an election, it was 2008, with Barack Obama. And I said to them, the one thing that I noticed, you know, is younger people who are really connected. And, you know, they asked me about why. And I said, well, you know, once Joe Biden stepped down, younger people weren't connected to this. They basically were taking a flyer. And once Joe Biden stepped down and Kamala Harris decided or wound up with this nomination, young people are really out here. And there's so many activities going on in the city of Milwaukee for young people, man, over the weekend. The money that is poured in from the Democratic Party to get people up and moving. Last time I saw that, Dominic, was 2008.
Earl Ingram Jr. joining me today. Earl, it is something special, certainly. But it doesn't seem, it seems like to me, and granted, I'm a partisan in this issue, that it shouldn't be as close as it is. Did you get into any discussions of the specific, like, policy differences between the Republican candidate and the Democratic candidate when talking with the BBC?
No, they clearly, there was another person on from Pittsburgh. And so Pittsburgh is as critical and maybe even more critical right now than the United States. And so their focus was clearly about the early voting. I guess one of the things I talked about was everybody's excited about the early voting.
Yeah.
And man, I got to tell you, the other day, it was just unbelievable, the amount of people. But, you know, we can't, it's kind of like fool's gold. You think, you see all those people voting and you say, oh man, this is what we're talking about. But you really don't know whether these are people who vote all the time.
Yeah.
And have decided to vote early, or nothing says these are new voters. No, you know what I mean?
Certainly. Yeah. All we know is that there is a number, and the number I'm seeing reported right now, Earl, CBS News saying more than 28 million people have early voted so far. That seems like a lot of people joining in. And we do know the former President Trump has encouraged now, he's embraced the early voting. And certainly, you know, the Democrats have traditionally been early voters. So there could be a combination of all that. I mean, it's hard to, you know, predict what it all means. I'm happy for the engagement. I think that's always good. But I don't know whether we can read a whole lot more into it than that as far as who they're voting for and who the voters are.
Well, we're not going to know that. Really until the end. but there clearly is a lot of activity on both sides. Record numbers, I have to say it, of Republicans are coming out to vote as well. Mm-hmm. And that has never been the case. You know, they always condemn early voting. I wonder why they're not condemning it now that they're doing it. You know what I mean?
I know. And if anyone would be consistent in their argument, wouldn't you then question, well, hey, I heard Donald Trump as recently, perhaps as this week, say, yeah, go out and early vote, engage, do it. But I remember him saying not so very long ago, Earl, that if that were to be the case, that's where all the fraud happens and you got to be concerned about it. But now they're going to embrace it because, of course, there was never fraud, not to any degree that would sway an election. We do have stopgaps for those kinds of things. But now they embrace it, they haven't, to my understanding, Earl, gone back and apologized or corrected the record when they were just very concerned about, you know, what lots of people voting during the pandemic. I mean, during a pandemic, Earl, I mean, it's hard to think back on that. I've been kind of fuzzy over in my mind. I don't want to think about it. It's hard to live through it and think about, you know, we only had a couple of polling places open in the city of Milwaukee, man, and the drop boxes. And everyone was concerned about the drop boxes, at least the Republicans were, right? It was all about, oh, we can't have drop boxes. Well, now, although there's still some Republican opposition to it, there are some drop boxes out there thanks to Wisconsin Supreme Court again. And that helps everybody, regardless of who you're voting for. And some of those folks, the Republicans, are using those as well.
You know, Dominic, the amazing thing is you know, how soon we forget what transpired with COVID and during the election process. And the fact that it's amazing that our system could get through that.
Yeah.
Right. And when you hear Republicans talking about how the system is, you know, crooked, and then you think about what it was able to overcome, because you forget those things, right? But that in itself, as you think back on it, was amazing. And if we were able to get through that, what makes these people think that with, you know, all things being open now, that we can't get it done properly this time? And at the end of this, Dominic, you already know, if they lose, they're going to do the same. They're going to swear it was rigged.
Yeah.
It was wrong. And so man, to be honest with you, I really don't know, you know, how this thing gets corrected. We're living in an alternative universe. You know, I was talking today on the show about people's loved ones in their same home, husbands and wives on two sides of this, brothers and sisters, neighbors. How do you fix it, Dominic? After this is over, how does the nation heal itself?
Well, that's a great question, Earl. Glad you asked. Earl Ingram on with me, 855-752-4842. You can join as well. How is it fixed? You know, I think it's fixed when people accept the outcome of an election. And I think there's a big effort by the Republicans, to my understanding, to have a, you know, hundreds of thousands of poll watchers, right? They're going to go to all the swing states early. They're going to make sure that nothing terrible happens. And I'm thinking, well, so long as there's not, you know, voter intimidation, okay, knock yourself out. Absolutely knock yourself out. Be a poll watcher. Sign up to work at the election. Be a part of the process. You know, the ignorance of how it all works fuels a lot of the trepidation and concern that some folks have. And it's hard for me to really blame a lot of these folks, because if they're listening to people like Donald Trump, they're listening to their Republican Party leadership, that's all they're hearing. That's all they've heard a lot of is, oh, you got to be concerned, stop the steal, it's all voter fraud, millions and millions of illegal votes, and all this kind of stuff, Earl. And if they actually partake and they actually volunteer, they do the poll watch and they see what goes on, at least in their community, and they don't see any shenanigans, because there aren't any shenanigans to any sort of degree that would justify the kind of panic that the Republicans have instilled upon this country simply because of one guy, because of Donald Trump. So I'm hopeful that if they see with their own eyes and their own votes, and hopefully Trump loses big in this election, that they'll just accept it. Because you know what? You had hundreds of thousands of poll watchers, and you were there in the room volunteering your time along with your other conservative neighbors and your progressive Democratic liberal neighbors and independents and everyone. I think that will help. I'm hopeful it will help. Ultimately, Earl, when Donald Trump gets cast aside and Kamala Harris becomes the president, and we have some of that town hall, we'll get to that, Earl. I think it's going to set a new tone. Now, will that change everybody? Certainly not. But to have new leadership and Donald Trump, because he's not going to run again in 4 years. I mean, hopefully, you never know. But to cast that aside and move beyond it, I think someone like Harris will help that a lot. 855-752-4842. We'll get to some of Harris town hall next.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. Earl Ingram Jr. joining me today. JSPS is on the board for your calls and your texts. That number is a phone line and a text line, 855-75-CIVIC. We've got a couple of texters, early innovators here. Ham from Appleton, my old stomping grounds. Please tell me we're going to talk heavily about spanking today. I mean, we will. We'll get there. What was that? Tucker Carlson? Was that? That'll be maybe. We'll put that one in the back burner for now. But yes, thank you for that, Ham. Let's see. Also, it says Earl's haircut looks good. Could pull off a mean Wesley Snipes Halloween costume. A 100% compliment. Earl, looking good, man. Looking good. And Gary from Madison notes, Republican poll watchers are there to disrupt or cause chaos. That is all. And I get that concern. But, you know, people have the right to poll watch, Earl, and is so long as there's not going to be voter intimidation, because there's also going to be a lot of folks out there that are going to make sure that there's not intimidation. You know, the people that want, that support other folks out and their right to vote. There's going to be lots of people on all sides out in this election, Earl. That gives me a little hope. You think I'm being a little too positive about this, or what do you think is going to happen?
So, number one, man, I'm a guy who votes on election day.
Yeah.
I always have. I always will. I don't know why. It's the nostalgia in me. I've been a part of 11 presidential elections.
This is, wow, yeah. Man.
Yeah, I know. And this is my 11th one. And so I tell you, man, to see a whole lot of people poll watching can be intimidating.
Yes. Yeah.
And I remember some elections where there are people overstepping their bounds. My concern is who puts them back in order.
Yeah.
Some woman who's a real nice lady whose job it is, you know, it's not like they have a guy who's, you know, a black belt in judo who's running.
Well, I mean, my understanding, Earl, some of the reporting are the election officials are hardening these places, man. They're going to have bulletproof vests. They got snipers and drones and all sorts of efforts to keep, you know, certainly the poll workers and the employees and volunteers safe and the voters as well. I think everyone's going to be hyper aware of any sort of concerns like that.
So I'm concerned about the intimidation, not that there's going to be something where somebody gets hurt, but I've been to elections where there are people who are all around you sticking their noses where they shouldn't be. And you almost want to say, hey, man, get back.
Yes, absolutely.
But now with this and that many people who are invading that space, it becomes an intimidation thing, and that's my concern.
Have you experienced that personally yourself, Earl, in the almost dozen presidential elections you've voted in?
Not a dozen. Hey, I hope to be around for the 12th.
Okay. So this will be your 11th. This cycle is your 11th. Okay. So you've got 10 under your belt with one to go in less than 2 weeks. All right. I got you. Yeah. I got you. 855-752-4842. We do have some sound. Kamala Harris out there doing the thing. She had a CNN town hall last night, Earl. We're going to get to some of that sound as well. I want to get your thoughts. Let's get a couple of callers in while we can. Mark from the SAC, you'll be first today. Welcome, sir. What do you got for us?
Yeah, thanks a lot. And you brought up, you know, the election, the things that went on during the election of 2020, and I just can't, that Republicans are willing to do stuff that is just harmful and hurtful to things to disrupt the vote, because I can remember Robin Voss wearing the full gear, you know, the gown and the gloves and the mask.
The
and
full PPE, right. It's totally safe to go out and vote.
But he was wearing the stuff that my caregivers had to wear when they're giving the chemotherapy, because that stuff is not safe for you to get coming just casual contact.
Sure, and he was wearing those things, Mark, and if we remember, there was a demand for those PPE pieces, Earl. Thanks for the call, Mark. If I recall specifically, there was an effort to, you know, push back the date of the vote or to try to help people to accommodate, you know, for what was going on during the pandemic. And the Republicans were like, nope, 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 nope. And it's totally safe as you got the assembly speaker from the state of Wisconsin, Robin Voss, in PPE gear from head to toe. 855-752-4842. Let's get Troy in from Mount Horeb. Welcome, Troy. What do you got for us?
So I work the polls.
Oh, good.
And we had our training last night, and we had a cop there for the first time ever talking about, de-escalation and different scenarios.
Sure. And that's the first time, Troy, you've worked the polls in the past, and this is the first time during your review of the training that you ever had a law enforcement officer in the room to address de-escalation?
Yes, during our training.
Wow.
So that was different. But we talked about different things. Like somebody brought up, should we have a police car there? And they're going to have extra officers working all day.
Oh, see, that's... But, hang on, Troy. We got Earl shaking his head. Earl, I could see how that in and of itself could be a little concerning for some folks.
It's insane, man. It's insane that we've come to this point where you have to worry about your fellow countrymen who, because of their own arrogance, think that they have a right to interfere with your right. come on, man. Where do we end this, Dominic? You know, if all of those things just don't make any sense to me, man.
855-752-4842. Well, I think, Earl, it never ends, man, right? You always have to consistently, from the day you're able till the day you die, stand up and fight for those rights. You got to stand up for yourself. You got to stand up for your neighbors and your friends and even folks that you don't maybe agree with politically or on the issues, that they also have the very same right. And anybody trying to stop that is going absolutely against what this country is supposed to be all about. I think more people need to stand up and say, these are our limits. This is how we'll do it. You cannot stop me from voting. 855-752-4842. Can't stop us. We'll be right back.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com. It was a beautiful day. Sun beat down. I had the radio on. I was driving. Man, welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. Thank you for listening. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. It's a phone line. It's a text line. We have some texters out there. Got Earl Ingram Jr. with me today. Got Jess P.S. on the board and on the lines for you. Thank you all. A couple of the texts I want to share with you. Annie from Watertown wondering, Earl, I wonder what exactly the Republicans are learning at the Trump training class. So many ways to muck up the process. Let's see. Terry from Cross Plains, town of Middleton is attached to the Dane County Sheriff's Office. Always have one deputy to stop by. Troy, our most recent caller, he wanted to say that they're not going to have a cop stationed there. One reason was possible voter intimidation. Thank you for your clarity and your call. Chris from Janesville, 100%. This is why I will always vote in person. I took a vacation for this. I am not going back. A lot of emotion in this election for very justifiable reasons. 855-752-4842. Earl, Kamala Harris, the vice president out at the town hall yesterday, she had better ratings than Donald Trump does during his Fox News town hall. Don't tell him that. But a lot of folks, I think the good news about the ratings, Earl, is that people are tuning in because they want to hear more about Vice President Harris.
You know, man, she's certainly shown that she's more than capable of answering any question. You know, she went on Fox News. I thought it was a mistake myself early on. Why would you accept that? But she stood toe to toe with Britt Baer. He was obnoxious. He was, you know, yeah. he was just, you know, and I have to say, normally I thought he's the one sane guy over there. And normally he conducts himself in a different way but I thought that it would have been a, you know, if she had to go before somebody, he was the right guy.
Yeah.
But with all that pressure he put on her, she didn't back down.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, you know, she's shown me that she has the mettle to deal with these kinds of issues. And the last thing I'll say is this, Dominic. You constantly hear people say, well, what is her plan? She's not doing this. She hasn't. I haven't heard. The one thing we do know about Kamala Harris is she's not going to be the queen. She's not going to say, I myself am going to run the United States government like the other guy.
Right.
She clearly is going to be surrounded by competent people, and she's not going to have to make all these decisions. The other guy, he wants to be the only guy making all the decisions. Come on, man.
Earl. The contrast is stark, and there are. We'll get to some of Harris's proposals and some of Trump's, and you know, and literally, if you drill down, the Washington Post had a nice piece as they are, you know, lined up like 125 different items and topics and threw out for people who would you vote for this or would you vote for that? And then they also say, well, who do you think this is for? And a lot of folks are think, well, this particular issue would be something that former President Trump would support. And it was maybe something that Harris did or vice versa. Or there was like 15 or 16 different items and topics that both candidates agreed on, yet the voters intuitively themselves thought that, you know, Donald Trump offered this and Harris offered that or different degrees. And there's, I think there's a lot more commonality, similar motivations for voters than perhaps they might think. We will get to that. But I also want to get to some of the sound from Kamala Harris yesterday. Earl, if you will bear with me, Jess on the board. Let's do the to-do list. I thought this was a nice one. Cut one, please.
Either you have the choice of a Donald Trump who will sit in the Oval Office, stewing, plotting revenge, retribution, writing out his enemies list, or what I will be doing, which is responding to folks like the folks last night with a to-do list.
A to-do list or an enemies list, Earl? I mean,
tough decision.
The contrast again is stark. Let's keep going on that Kamala Harris yesterday at the CNN town hall. Cut number two, Trump is exhausted.
Yet again, Trump not showing up, refused to be a part of a CNN debate. And clearly his staff has been saying he's exhausted. And the sad part about that is he's trying to be president of the United States, probably the toughest job in the world. And he's exhausted.
Earl, I want to get your take on this. As we know, Donald Trump is and those that surround him, the sycophants and the enablers and the hangers-on and those that are cashing the check, they prop this guy up all the time. He's the best. He's the smartest. He's the brightest. When they come out, Earl, and say and actually admit to the fact that he's, quote-unquote, exhausted, I mean, it seems to me like if they're going to say that, it's probably much worse than what they're admitting to it. What's your thought?
So how can you possibly think that Donald Trump could be exhausted? He lives off of Big Macs. And clearly, man, I'm not making that up.
No, the diet, right, yeah.
Yeah, right. And so clearly I don't think he's been in the gym in the last,
ever?
You know, 15 years, right? So it's at his age, 78 years old, not eating right. He doesn't sleep. What are the chances that he's going to be in top shape, Dominic, if you're not eating right, if you're not working out, if you're not getting any sleep, and you're 78 years old?
Right.
That's a recipe for a lot of different things,
man. I mean,
man.
78, man. I mean, don't. what was there working out back then when he was a kid? I mean, were they throwing medicine balls around? I mean, they didn't start jogging until like the 70s. I mean, what was the workout for a guy like Donald Trump back in the day?
A knife and a fork.
Right. The next question, and of course, sir, I want to get your take on this as well. You know, everyone around Donald Trump, not everyone, lots of people who have come out against Donald Trump and talked about his activities and his behavior and his lack of morals and his lack of character. These are Republican, in some cases, former Republican, you know, Marine generals, you know, former DHS secretary and a former chief of staff talking about Kelly. And he came out and said, Donald Trump is, and he read the definition of the New York Times, man. He pulled up Merriam-Webster and had to make sure, and this is the definition. And if you read it, it's hard not to apply those attributes to that word fascism to Donald Trump. Vice President Harris was asked about that on the CNN town hall last night. Let's hear her response. Cut number three, please.
You've quoted General Milley calling Donald Trump a fascist. You yourself have not used that word to describe him. Let me ask you tonight, do you think Donald Trump is a fascist?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. And I also believe that the people who know him best on this subject should be trusted. Again, look at their careers. These are not people, with the exception, I think, of only Mike Pence. These were not politicians. These are career people who have served in the highest roles in national security, who have served as generals in our military, who are highly respected, talking about the person who would be commander in chief.
That's the first time the vice president has used that term against the former president, a fascist. Earl, does that have extra meaning in your opinion?
So you're talking to a guy who still listens to conservative talk radio every day.
Okay. I'm so sorry to hear that. But thank you. So, thank you, Earl.
Somebody has to do it. And so I'm hearing them having conniptions. She called him a fascist. She called him a... He's been calling her a Marxist. I'm just saying it, Dominic.
Yeah.
If I didn't listen to this, I couldn't respond like I respond, right?
Yeah.
So they've been constantly calling her a Marxist, Donald Trump himself. But she says this, you know, when I was a little boy, there used to be this old axiom, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me.
Mm-hmm.
Names hurt conservatives and Republicans. But they can call you anything under the sun, and that's what Donald Trump does. And yet they can't tolerate what she's doing. It's not right. I heard the guy say yesterday, you know, this guy has already been, they've attempted to assassinate him twice, and she's putting that out there. She's setting him up for another assassination attempt. I'm like, wow.
Yeah, wow. Man. Wow. And I've heard even in that term, Earl, not to get a segue here, but I believe it was Speaker Mike Johnson last week on the news shows talking about the attempted assassination, saying, quote unquote, they tried to assassinate him. They. I'm like, they? There are a couple of individuals that, as far as I know, had nothing to do with the Democratic Party at all. So when you say they, I mean, it's very concerning, I think, when they're trying to mesh and insinuate that somehow that Kamala Harris had anything to do with that. Of course, we don't want political violence. I mean, if there's anybody who has a history of political violence, just look at Donald Trump. He called the mob. He sacked it on January 6th, man. The video is still hot. You can look at it anytime you want, man. There was your political violence. We don't want normal people who are engaged in self-governance. That's why we do their social. So we don't have to resort to political violence. That is not the way. That is not the way. And I would also say this, Earl, the fascist remark versus the Marxist remark, right? I can point to you to many items and comments said by Donald Trump that you could classify as fascist. You're calling Kamala Harris a Marxist who just says she's a capitalist? Well, you can't be both of those things. So what are the actions of the vice president that would give you any implication that she is a Marxist? I mean, she's not calling for the means of production and distribution to be run by the government. She's never said that. It's not a thing. If you don't know what a Marxist is, then you shouldn't maybe be saying it. But we can point to very specific issues and very specific words that have come out of Donald Trump's mouth that would make people believe that perhaps he is in fact a fascist, like cut number four.
The enemy is within. He's talking about the American people.
He's talking about the American people, Earl. He's talking about specifically naming Nancy Pelosi and Adam Schiff as people that perhaps, and these lunatic lefties, you got to, you know, set the National Guard and the military on if necessary, according to Donald Trump. Those are fascistic words, man. You're not saying that, hey, Adam Schiff did X, Y, and Z, and therefore he should be prosecuted. There should be an investigation, an indictment, a grand jury perhaps, criminal proceedings, a court case, and if found guilty, he should be punished and sentenced appropriately. He's not saying that. He's saying you're going to call the military upon him, Earl? That seems very fascist to me, and it seems like an apt description.
You know, man, you stole my thunder. listen, man, when you hear them talking about Marxists, as you stated, they don't know what the definition of it is. And they continue to use words and terms that they can get away with because many of the people who are in the amen corner of Donald Trump and Republicans, they don't need to do any thinking. They don't need to know what those definitions are and what they mean because they're in the amen corner. And I'll tell you, man, the more I hear this, I'm still not believing, Dominic, that we've come this far. People need to understand the impact of what these people have done and the long-term implications of the damage they've done to the elections in this nation. Mm-hmm. It's not going to end just like that.
No,
you
no.
know, people, this is going to be with us for a long time to come.
It is, and that is unfortunate, and I have every confidence that we as a country, as a nation, as an intelligent people, when we put our minds to it, can get past that. There was a deposition from Flynn, former General Lieutenant General Flynn, who when asked, and I believe it was the Dominion case, no, we don't have any specific knowledge of the fraud. And then 2 weeks later goes out and says, oh, there's all sorts of fraud. You know, it's one thing they say when they're under oath in front of a judge and outside and not looking at the cameras, an entirely different thing than when we get out there and lie to the American people for profit and for politics. And that is totally unacceptable. I don't care what party you're from. 855-752-4842.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. Joining the love train, Earl Ingram Jr., Jess P.S. on the board. We're going to wrap up a little bit more of the town hall from Kamala Harris from last night. Number 855-75-CIVIC is the text line as well. Dictator on day one. Fascism much? Andrew from Verona writes, I mean, as soon as you say, Earl, that you will be a dictator on day one, I think you kind of earned the fascistic label. I'm just saying at that point. Just a couple more here from Harris. The Israel and Palestine war. Let's hear cut number five, please.
Do you believe you would be more pro-Israel than Donald Trump?
I believe that Donald Trump is dangerous. Far too many innocent Palestinian civilians have been killed. It's unconscionable. And we are now at a place where with Sinwar's death, I do believe we have an opportunity to end this war.
This has been one of the headwinds for the vice president in this election cycle, Earl. I mean, how do you think this is going to impact her in the next couple of weeks?
You know, man, it is good to hear her say that.
Yeah.
And the young people that I have been talking to, that's one of the major issues. What's different, Dominic, from younger people than you and I? We've been around, we've seen wars, we know about it, we know the horror of it, and we've probably become a little hardened. But younger people see that injustice, and they can't understand how people can can slaughter other innocent human beings like that. And people just don't have the courage to step up and say it. I'm glad she said it. She separated herself and she needed to do that. That doesn't mean that she's not supporting Israel. I didn't hear anything in that response, Dominic, that said I'm not supporting Israel. Did you?
Nope, not at all.
But there are people who will say that she's anti-Israel, she's not supporting
Israel. Her husband's
Israel.
Jewish, for crying out loud. I mean, it's just beyond. But as a political issue, this is her administration, and these are our weapons, and you know, Netanyahu and that government, I would separate from the Israeli people, much like, you know, you can't judge me based on what Trump does. You know what I'm saying? 855-752-4842. Carlos, be patient. We'll get to you as well. Just a couple more. On praying, cut number six.
Do you pray every day?
I do pray every day. I do pray every day, sometimes twice a day.
Sometimes twice a day. I have to wonder, I wonder if Donald Trump's been asked that question, Earl. I know when he was asked one time about his favorite Bible verse, and he basically gave the, oh, they're all my favorite. Oh, it's very, very private to me.
I can't pick.
Yeah, I mean, it's very personal to me. I can't tell you. I don't want to talk about it, but it's all very important to me.
Dominic, let me ask you.
Yeah.
What kind of question is that? I mean, you and I interview people.
Mm-hmm.
Would you ever ask somebody?
No, I would never ask.
Come on,
no.
Man. What
no,
is
the religion or lack thereof. You know, I'm not a religious man, Earl. And, so, no, I don't pray. And if I were to say, no, I don't pray, is that going to make me look bad because other people do? I mean, come on.
Come on, it's man. I know, man.
Just a couple more. The administration will not be a continuation of Biden's. Cut seven.
My administration will not be a continuation of the Biden administration. I bring to this role my own ideas and my own experience.
And I guess that's good as well. You know, the vice president does not have control over what the president does. And I think for much of this administration, Earl, they kind of put Harris on a shelf. You know, it wasn't really towards the end where she came out as the nominee that we really heard her take off. Do you think that's going to get anybody to vote for her?
I don't know, man, but I'll tell you, man, I really do get frustrated with now people saying, well, you know, she's not going along with what Biden is done. I'm sorry. He's still the president, but for all practical purposes, his time is done. So you can't get angry with her for saying she's looking to go in her own direction.
Absolutely.
What do you want her to say, man?
That's Come exactly on, man. What we want. We want her to go in her own direction. That's why we're voting for her. That's why she's at the top of the ticket. And I look forward to is she a Gen Xer? Is that official? Is she an Xer? That might be on the top end.
No, she's 50.
She's 60.
She's 60.
Well, I'm 53. I'm an Xer. I mean,
she might be.
Yeah, yeah. Looking for the next generation.
We know she's surely not a baby boomer.
No. One last one from the vice president at the CNN town hall, being a problem solver. Well, that's a relief. Let's hear that.
I love fixing problems. And so I pledge to you to be a president who not only works for all Americans, but works on getting stuff done. And that means compromise.
And again, it seems like a no-brainer to me, Earl, but in this environment, I think it needs to be said. Yeah, she's down. Even Liz Cheney says, you know, may not agree, but, you know, she'll listen and she will compromise. I never hear that kind of talk coming out of the Republican top of the ticket.
Amen. You know, amen.
Amen. Hey, Annie from Watertown, we're going to sneak you in. I can give you 45 seconds. Annie, what do you got for us?
I just can't help but think about back in the Walker days, some Republican lady from the National Committee, whatever, was here, and she referred to the voters here as not the sharpest knives. I mean, it's not my words.
Wow.
The gal that runs the election and around here, small district, very Republican. I mean, she must got to be Republican. And after 2020, she got harassed. I couldn't believe it. The poor gal was just so upset.
Thank you for your comments, Annie. Folks, this is the Dom Salve Show. Bill Press coming up next, plus your calls, 855-75-CIVIC.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.